Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shulman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Brachot Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. About to take a look at a very significant sugya. Of course, they're all significant. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tefach B'Isha Erva. One tefach of a woman's body is considered erva. Now, lemai. What, for what purposes? Ilei molesta kulei ba, if it means that you're not allowed to look at it. Then in Bamidbar Laman Aleph, when the Torah describes all of the jewelry gotten and the loot from Midian, it describes outer jewels and inner jewels. Why does it count them together? That if you gaze and stare even at the smallest finger of a woman, it's like you're gazing at her genitals. Meaning that any part of a woman is something you're not supposed to gaze at. Ella be'ishto ula kriyat shema. What it means is, we're talking about your own wife, and it's talking about for kriyat shema. Meaning, when you're saying kriyat shema, you should not be exposed to erva. So what's a tefach? So the Rishonim generally agree, a tefach means a tefach of that which is normally covered. If it's uncovered, then it's an erva. Amar Rav Chista, shok be'isha erva. So a shok, which, machloket poskim, whether it means a thigh or a calf, is also erva. Shenemar gali shok ivri naharot. In Shayahu it says, cross the river and uncover your shok. Uchtiv tigal ervatech v'gam ter echer patech. And then it says, with that, your erva will be revealed. Amar Shmuel kol b'isha erva. And this is a whole piece by itself. A woman's voice is erva. Shenemar ki kolech arevu marech naveh. In Shir HaShirim, a woman's voice is praised as being very beautiful. And again, the question is this specifically for when you're saying Kriyat Shema or Tefillah, or is it any time? And Rav Sheshet, Se'ar B'Isha Erva, a woman's hair. And again, the poskim weigh in and say hair, which is normally covered. If it's uncovered, then it's also an Erva, Shenemar Sa'arech Ka'eder Ha'izim. The comments of the Aruch HaShulchan and Siman Ayin Hey are very instructive here. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Ani ra'iti Rabbi shetalat tefillah. Back to the issue of guarding tefillin. I saw that Rabbi hung his tefillin up. Let's see. This evidently refers to either sleeping time or the bathroom. We have a challenge that if you hang your tefillin, then you'll be hanged. You know, it's a punishment. It's not a good thing. Dorshei chamurot amru, so darshanim, said, based on the same pasuk, your life will be hanging in front of you in the curse and dvarim, that's referring to somebody who hangs his tefillin. So, it depends if you hang it by the strap or you hang it by the box itself. Or it's possible that it doesn't matter which one of you use asur. Rabbi didn't hang the tefillin, he put them in a pouch and he hung the pouch. So what's the chiddush of telling me that he hung them? So maybe he has to be placed somewhere like a Sefer Torah, kamash v'lan, that it doesn't need to. I This is evidently during tefillah, that he yawned, and he evidently burped, he sneezed, he spit, and he used his garment to cover it. But he wouldn't wrap it. When he would yawn, he would put his hand on his chin to cover it. We have a bright that says if you make sounds during tefillah, it's like you don't have much faith. And that means if you daven out loud, it's like God can't hear you. If you really call out loud, it's like you're somebody who's a false prophet. And yawning and those sort of things, that's haughtiness. How could Rabbi do that? And if you're mitatesh, we'll see what that means. It's a bad sign. Or some people say it's terrible. If you spit during tefillah, it's like spitting in front of the king. So now, we could answer the yawning and burping. One is if you can't help it, you can't help it. One is to do it intentionally. But how could we say that Rebbe was mitatesh, and Rebbe's a great man, and yet mitatesh is a bad siman? The answer is mitatesh namelo kasha. Kan milamala, kan milamata. Sneezing, that's a good thing. Letting wind, on the other hand, is a bad thing. That's mitatesh milamata. Amar Zera, ha milta yivala li be'i Rav Hamnuna. I heard this in be'i Rav Hamnuna. Kili kikula talmudoi. And I waited like all my learning. Hamitatesh bitfilatos siman yafelo. Mitatesh during davening is a good siman. Meaning, kashem shel simlo nachat ruach milamata, just like they're giving you some pleasure here, sneezing is a relief, kachos simlo nachat ruach milamala, they'll give you relief upstairs. Alright, so good. Arak kasha, but spitting, that was a problem. Meaning in Rebbe's case, he spit, and here we see it's a terrible thing. Rak arak mamilo kasha, efshak Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. Perhaps it follows the following. Hayam made b'tfilah is the main lorok. If you're standing in tefillah and suddenly you feel spittle coming, mavleoba talito, put it into your garment. If you have talit na'ahu, but if you have a nice garment, mavleoba fa'akar suto, you put it into your money bag, your pouch. In other words, sometimes you can't help it. Ravina avekayah chared Ravashi. Ravina was davening in back of Ravashi. He's davening lo rok. He had some spittle come. Patke lachore, spit it in back of him. Amrale lo saral malahad Rav Yehuda, mavleoba fa'akar suto. After davening, Rav Ashi said to him, "Don't you hold from what Rav Yehuda taught? You should put it into your pouch." Amarle, ana anina datoi. I'm very fastidious, and I would feel bad about putting spittle in there. Okay, we said earlier, "Mashmiya kolobit tefilator is mikatnei emuna." If somebody's voice is heard during tefillah, that's like they have little belief. That's only true if you could have proper intent by saying tefillah silently. But if not, then it's mutar. That's only if you're davening alone. But tzibur, if you're in the tzibur, atin the mitzvah tzibur, it's going to bother other people. I think we all have had experiences with people who daven somewhat loudly, and it disturbs everybody else, and they shouldn't do it. Rabbi Yehuda is famous from the story at the end of Ketubot, was opposed to people making aliyah from Bavel in his period. So Rabbi Abba, like Rabbi Zera, was hiding from Rabbi Yehuda because he wanted to make aliyah. We come by the Mesach Lahori Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda called 11 Bavel Lahori Yisrael. Rabbi Alsation Emar, Bavela Yuval Vishama Yu Adyom Pokti Otam Neum Adonai. And now we say that pasuk is written about the Klei Sharet and about a different period. In any case, that was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Abba was keeping his distance from him because he wanted to make aliyah and didn't want Rabbi Yehuda to explicitly forbid him. Amar Ezel Eshpam Mine Miltam Ebe Vada. So Rabbi Abba said, let me go hear something from the Beit Midrash from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, I don't want to, I miss him. And then I'll leave. Azal Ashkache, the Tana, the Tani Kamed Rabbi Yehuda. So he found a Tana teaching in front of Rabbi Yehuda. This lesson. Hayo, maybe Tfilah in Tatesh. Mamtinat Shtichleh, Yichleh Ruach Hozer Mit Palel. If you were standing in Tfilah and let wind, you wait until the smell is gone or the feeling of it is gone, and then you continue. The other version is that if you were standing at tefillah and needed to let wind, you step back four amot umitatesh and let it go. Wait till it's gone. And you come back to your place and say tefillah. And in your tefillah, or perhaps afterwards, you say, you created us with holes and orifices, etc. You know how shameful we are in our life. At the end, it's just worms. And then you continue tefillah. The Rabbi Abba said, even if I only came to hear this one lesson, it was worth it. Let's say you're sleeping in a garment, meaning you have a garment like a blanket, and it's too cold to put your head out, and you have no clothes on. So you take the talit and put it up against your neck, so it forms a barrier between your head and the rest of your body. Some people say you have to put that barrier on your heart, on your chest. Tanakama says, Tanakama says you can't do that because then your heart and your erva are in the same area, right? So Tanakama evidently thinks that that's not a problem, and so therefore he says put it around your neck. The Yesh Omrim says you have to put it on your heart so that libo does not see erva. Let's say you're walking in a dirty area, a place that has feces, etc. You put your hand over your mouth and say Shema. Kind of say it quietly. Let's say it's Zman Kriyat Shema, and you can't get out of its area. Rav Chista heard about this in Bavel, and he made an oath, and he said, even if I heard this directly from Yochanan, I wouldn't accept it. How can you say Kriyat Shema in a place like that? Ikadam Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The other version is that he quoted Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Hayam alach mudatun anfort mudniach adol people kri Kriyat Shema. Amalav chista Elohim imamarali Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi fumi lot satan alei. And according to this version, he said the same thing. If Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said it to me himself, and I heard it directly from him, I still wouldn't do it. Umiyam Rav Huna Hachi, since when did Rav Huna, who was the first quarter of Rabbi Yochanan, since when did he say it? Rav Huna, Tamil Chacham Asul Amod Makoma Tinofet. Tamil Chacham is not allowed to stand around in a dirty place. Shef Shal Amod Belihi or Torah, because he's always thinking Torah. And you're not allowed to think Torah in a place like that. So how could he quote Rabbi Yochanan and say you could put your hand over your mouth and say Shema? So Lokasha, Kan Be'o Med Kan Be'malech. To stand around is wrong, but if you're walking through, then it's okay. But since when did Rabbi Yochanan say this? Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to think words of Torah anywhere except for being in a bathhouse or a privy. So that means Makom HaTinofet should be okay. You shouldn't have to put your hand over your mouth. So if you say the same thing, that the difference is between standing and walking, Eniva is a truva, Rabbi Avahu, because of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avahu himself was following Rabbi Yochanan. Kakai Kriyat Shema, Kimad Vuota Tunafot Ishtik. He was saying Shema, and when they came to this, he was in the middle of Shema, and they came to this dirty street, he stopped. Amar the Rabbi Yochanan, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Lehechan Ahadar, then he said, where should I go back to? Amar Leim Shaita Kredit Mor Kula Chazol Rosh. If your break was long enough to say the whole Shema, go back to the beginning. So that means that Rabbi Yochanan evidently supports the idea that you can't say Shema in a place like that. So the answer is, Hachikam Marle. The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lididilo Sfirali. I don't think you had to stop at all. Dachta Sfirlach, you think you had to stop. If you stop long enough to say the whole thing, then you go back to the beginning. Tanakh Kavateh Rav Huna. We have a bright that supports Rav Huna. Tanakh Kavateh Rav Chista, and one that supports Rav Chista, whether or not you're allowed to do this. Tanakh Kavateh Rav Huna. Amalech Mu'otanafon Neiach Yedo Apiv. Yikra Kriyat Shema. If you walk in a dirty area, put your hand over your mouth and say Kriyat Shema, exactly as Rav Huna reported in Rabbi Yochanan's name, or Rabbi Barachana perhaps reported in Rabbi Shimon Levi's name. Rav Chista was of course opposed to either one of these reports. Tanya Kratet Rav Chista, we have a bright to supporting Rav Chista. I'm Malchum Tonafot, Lo Yikra Kriyat Shema. If you walk in an area like that, don't say Kriyat Shema at all. Or to Elishim, Yakore Uvab, and if you were reading, Posek, stop reading. Lo Pasak Mai, what if you didn't stop? Riyasha, we already saw what happens if you say Tefillah, let's say when you have to go to the bathroom. So we say it's a Toiva, and you're not Yotze, according to one opinion. I've given them laws that are not good and statutes that they can't live by, meaning doing the wrong thing. You're pulling sins with empty ropes. You've degraded God's word. In other words, this is really a bad thing. In Pasak Mascharo, what if you do stop? What's the reward you get? With this matter, or with this word, you will live a long life. So the idea is, by ceasing your words at this point, you'll live a long life. I'm Rav Hunai. Back to the guy in bed, as it were. A guy has his garment, and it's around his waist, tied around his waist. Mutali kor Kriyat Shema. You could say Kriyat Shema, like without a shirt. Whether it was fabric, or whether it was leather, or whether it was burlap, it was tied around your waist, you could say Kriyat Shema. About the tefillah, but for tefillah itself, you do have to cover your heart. Let's say you walked into a Beit HaKiseh wearing tefillin. You have to put your hand over them until you finish what you have to do and come out. Until you finish, you're going to stay there the whole time with tefillin. You finish the first thing that's coming out, and then, so why don't you just get up and take it off right away? If you stop yourself in the middle of defecating, it could lead to this bad disease, it could be some sort of jaundice. If you stop yourself in the middle of urinating, that could lead to another kind of disease. Itmart, so al besaro. Let's say you have some feces that's on your skin, like you touched it. Your hand is inside a Beit HaKiseh, and you're outside, you want to say Shema. Rav Chista disagree whether you could say Kriyat Shema. So what's Rav Huna's reason for saying it's Mutar? Dichtiv kolan neshamata halaliyah. The soul's praises God. Man, the soul's not dirty. Chista ma'asuri kor kriyat shema. I don't know. Chista, why did he say you may not? Dichtiv kalatz v'tay tomar adonai michamocha. All of my bones rejoice and say, Hashem, who is like you? Which is a reference to kriyat shema. There's only one God. And therefore he says that, your entire being has to be clean. Okay, I'll pause at this point and pick it up with the last podcast. And this is the third parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.